This series that we're beginning tonight has been something that has been in our hearts for many years, but we've had to wait on the Lord's timing. And many of you who walk with the Lord for any amount of time, you know God has a time for everything. And so we've had to wait on the Lord's timing for everything to materialize. And as we have, the Lord has always provided, and he has provided this evening, as well as in the weeks ahead, some actually young people that will be taking us through these series, and I'm very excited. First one up tonight is David Espinosa. And just to give you a little bit of background on David, David has been attending our church since 2004. He's been working at our church for 10 years, at Times Square Church for 10 years, and is the systems administrator and webmaster. He also has been volunteering with our junior high ministry for 7 years, along with his wife, Georgina. In 2007 and 2012, he attended RZIM, which is a ministry created by Ravi Zacharias that deals with specifically with defending the Christian faith. And he has had a heart for apologetics, and I've known that for many years. And so this is an opportunity for him to be able to share with you. And I'm looking forward to what he's going to be sharing this evening and next week. And we also have Ilya Wilson, who's going to, many of you know Ilya, who does a lot of spoken word pieces here and prays up a storm. And her dad's in the choir, and mom works with the children's ministry. And then we also have Lisa McLaughlin, who's going to be coming from Summit International School of Ministry. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Summit has a class along these lines on world religions. And Lisa's actually the teacher for the class. And so she's going to be coming in the next couple of weeks for one of the sessions and sharing with us as well. So I'm very excited about this series. Very excited about the opportunity to explore and to see what other people believe, other faiths believe, and to also look at what we believe next to that. So looking forward to that. I'm going to ask David to come on out. David, why don't you come on out right now? I'm going to let David go ahead and explain and introduce the whole series to you. God bless you, David. Delighted to have you.
Bless you. Bless you. Good evening. It's good to see you guys. Hello, Junior High. Hey, anybody from Junior High over here? Yes. Good to see you guys. Thank you for coming. As Pastor P said, we're starting this series, and I'm very excited because this is really something that I'm passionate about. Is really close to my heart as well. I think it's very important to take a look at what we believe, what other worldviews teach as well, so that we can have great conversations, intelligent conversations, have the heart of God for other people as well, so that we can know where they're coming from, so that we can understand where they're coming from, and then we can perhaps, as Paul did, be that to that person that needs it, so we can translate the gospel in such a way that it's attainable to them. So I'm very excited about this. As Pastor P said, I was able to attend the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry Summer School in Oxford in 2007 and in 2012, and I want to see if I'm able to... I don't know if you see me there, but there's a lot of people there. So that's Ravi right there, and over here to the far right of you, it's me and my lovely wife, Georgina. So again, why is this important? First, I want to show you the clip that promoted the series, and I want you to pay close attention to it, okay? And perhaps something jumps out. A word, a phrase, and I want you to remember. Great, so I know that it was pretty fast, but something jumped out, I'm sure of it. So what we're gonna do, we're going to take out our phones, and we're going to actually ask that question. So take up your phones. No texting, tweeting yet. No Facebooking, please. Take out your phones. If you don't have a phone, then just follow along. And it's voting time. Open up a web browser on your phone and go to that URL, pollev.com/SYPNYC. pollev.com/SYPNYC. Okay, great. I'm going to give you a few seconds for it. pollev.com/SYPNYC. Great. Everybody got it?
No, sir. I'm so
done. Verizon, T-Mobile. All right. So are you able to see the question on your phone? Great. Majority of you guys do. Now, what I want you to do is type the word that jumped out at you from that promo. There were so many words there. So type it on that box and then click submit. And we'll see what you guys come up with. Will let you type? Oh, I see the poll is not accepting any responses. Oh, I see. Well, the idea of that was for us to take a poll of what jumped out. So let's say karma jumped out, or rosary, or what other word jumped out?
Nirvana,
peace. Now, most likely this jumped out because you had experienced a conversation with somebody, you have experienced that particular worldview as you were growing up, maybe you did a report in school about it. The idea is that it's very important for us to understand where people come from so that we are able to communicate with them, build bridges as opposed to build walls. I know building walls is a little bit popular nowadays. But I don't think we should build walls, we should build bridges. Okay. So for me, what I want to do tonight is introduce you to a situation that could have happened to you, that this part of understanding the other person's worldview is very important. So right now we're going to see how this is going to take place in a college campus.
We have to hurry up.
You could have said excuse me.
You know how Professor Hilton is?
Look, I don't want him locked into on me either, but you don't got to be pulling me like
Hey,
that.
Wait up.
Who's
wait
that?
Up.
Oh, it's
wait
Sheila.
Up. I thought you guys were going to wait for me.
When we are on time, we wait. When you are late, you're on your own.
Ah, thanks.
Gonna go. What were you doing that whole time anyway?
I was getting something to eat. I was working on this presentation all night. I didn't eat dinner.
You good, because if I don't eat, nothing I write will make sense.
Fasting and meditation can help you to open up your mind. If you get rid of your mind of negative thoughts, then you can be in tune with all that is knowledge.
What is that?
Oh, the knowledge that is connected to everything. Then you wouldn't feel so stressed about your life.
Ain't nobody said I was stressed about my life. And when did you become a life coach?
Oh, here we go with insults.
Yeah, here we go.
That's bad karma, by the way.
Look, I'm done with you.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
Can we call a truce here?
I'm at peace. No problem here.
Okay, and?
True, none here either.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good.
I know, right?
Excuse me, miss. I'm hungry, and I'm homeless. I just want to get something to eat. Can you help me?
Nope, can't help you here. You got some change or something?
No, I'm sorry.
I'll take anything. Anything.
No, I can't help you.
Sir, come here. Is this enough for you to get something to eat?
Yes, that's enough.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, man.
God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right. Thank you.
Be safe, man. It's very cold.
Thank you.
Eat with that, okay? See, that's called good karma. Whatever you do eventually comes back to you.
You know what? I'm about to unleash some bad karma on you if you don't stop with this good karma, bad karma nonsense.
Listen.
Okay.
Listen, we get it. What goes around comes around. Can you stop this now?
Yes.
All right.
But it's more than that. The karma plays a very important role in your existence and your future existence. See, it is like in a debt that you owe. When you do good things, your debt will decrease. When you do bad things, your debt will increase.
Listen, I already told you.
Okay. So where does this debt come from? Are you born with it, or does it start accumulating after your first bad deed, or what is it?
You may be born with it. Sometimes it can come from your previous life, too.
Hold up.
Okay.
We have not but one life. We have several lives before.
Oh, yes. We are in a constant cycle of rebirth, and karma will follow up from the past and determines who we are and when we are reborn.
Are we talking about reincarnation?
Yes, rebirth. We can come back as any living being, but karma will determine what that will be.
Okay. If I don't satisfy my good debt,
okay,
doing good karma,
right,
what do I come back as?
A poor person,
a
slave, an abused person, or a low insect?
A roach.
Maybe.
Ant.
Better.
Really?
Better.
Okay, but what if I do good and it outweighs the bad? What do I come back as?
Oh, maybe a wealthy person or a celebrity like Orlando Bloom's from Lord of Rings. Or you can come back as a Gandhi and fight for oppressed people.
Interesting.
Yes.
So who says when we get out of the cycle of rebirth? Or does it like go on forever?
Once our karma is reconciled, our soul or atma will become oneness with God, and we are no more reborn, where we come to a realization that we are not different from God, but we are God, and God is us.
Okay, I got one question.
Yes, go ahead.
What do you want to come back as?
Maybe a sacred animal.
So let me get this straight.
Right.
If you come back as a cow somewhere in India, that's good karma, right?
Of course.
But if you come back as a cow here in the United States, you a hamburger. That ain't good.
You won't get it.
That ain't good.
It's very hot to understand.
You're going to be in McDonald's. They're going to double you.
You better be a roach, okay?
Let's go.
I was thinking maybe it could be Burger King or Shake Shack. I hope you catched a few of the concepts that we're going to be talking about tonight. And sometimes in conversations, in movies, in TV shows, you will encounter these concepts. How many of you, by show of hands, would know the concept of karma, or at least just I've heard about it in a movie or so, right? What about the concept of reincarnation? Right. So it's pretty familiar for us. I'm going to go back to the slide, the poll that we just made, and we're going to put up, this is what you guys wrote and submitted. Nirvana was big. Hinduism, temple, incarnation, peace, eternal myth, God. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Hinduism. We're going to first, really quick overview. Really quick facts. I know that so most of you guys have a handout, which welcome to school again. But the reason that we gave out the handout is that you can actually remember most of the things as you write them, as you hear them, as you see them on the screen, so that you're able to understand a little bit more, get the bigger picture, perhaps get out of a bubble, and then see the world as it is right now, so that we can engage the world in a better way. So let's go as an overview. And of course, voting time. So again, let's take out our phones. We're gonna vote again. And we're gonna see, I'm gonna test you on your knowledge of Hinduism. Okay, so you have your phones. The question is, how many people in the world practice Hinduism? How many people? So take out your phones, go to pollev.com/SYPNYC. If you don't have an internet connection, you can actually text SYPNYC to the phone number 22333, and then you just text the letters A, B, or C. Great, so we have only 2 more seconds on this poll. Great. So the majority of you, 13% of the world practice Hinduism, 3%, 7.5%. Well, let's look at the answer. The majority of the world practice Christianity with 31%. Hinduism, it's right here in the purple, it's 15%. So the ones that got 15%, you may get some candy later. Yes. And Christianity here is with 31%, and that composes a lot of denominations of Christianity as well. Now, let's look at the world. And the other question is, the nation that has the most Hindu practitioners is India, which is right here. And 80% of India practices Hinduism. 80%. Now, India is the second biggest or more densely populated country in the world behind China. So the majority of Hindus, in your handouts, you can see it's about 970 million people in India alone, as opposed to Hinduism. In the United States, the number is 0.7%, which is actually about 2 million people. It's like 1.8 million people. So we have a lot of opportunities to share. Now, what I want you to do is take a look at the handout, because we're going to review. 15% of the world practice Hinduism. And remember, these answers, you may need them later if you want to get candy. 15%, 80% practice Hinduism in India, and 0.7% in the U.S., okay? How many of you have actually encountered somebody that practices Hinduism on the street, in Queens, perhaps? Yeah. The Hindu population in Queens is very, very big. Also, as I was researching this, Orlando Bloom, his official religion is Hinduism, and Julia Roberts as well. So I want you to kind of like create a picture of Hinduism, not just perhaps what you saw in a Far Eastern movie or something like that, but it's people from diverse places and cultural places, okay? But what does Hinduism mean? Well, the Hindu is a term used by Persians thousands of years ago to refer to a people living beyond the Indus River. Okay, so you tell me, I know where the Lincoln Tunnel is and that river that crosses, what's the name of it? The Hudson, right? But where is the Indus River? Well, in a sunny day, we took a trip from here to the Indus River. So let's go. We pull out. all the way to see North America. Then we go all the way around to the other side of the world, where India is. And you see that northwestern part, that little yellow tag that is there, that is the Indus River. And that's pretty much the Indus Valley as well, and that's where all the history and origins of Hinduism come from. So again, Hindu is a term used by Persians thousands of years ago to refer to people living beyond the Indus River. And then the next part, the ism, it's a belief, doctrine, cause, or theory. So you have Darwinism and other isms. So let's put it together. Hinduism is the name given in the 1800s to describe a broad range of religions in India. Okay. That's pretty interesting, because we didn't use the Indus River. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at the origins of Hinduism. Okay? Again, we're going to go back to the Indus River, and over here is where thousands of years ago, Indo-Aryans from Europe come down to this place and start conquering. Now, at that time, all their culture and religion gets mixed with the local beliefs as well. So out of this place of many cultures and many religions, for thousands of years, comes the idea of Hinduism. And I say the idea because, unlike other worldviews, Hinduism is a collection of worldviews, of religions, of culture. It is very vast, from the belief in, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but the belief in one thing that is called the universe to several gods, as you may know. But this is where it all plays out. And I'm going to ask you to take a look at the handouts so that we can review. So, Indo-Aryans were the ones that conquered. Then their social, Indo-Aryans are the ones that conquered that part of India. Then their social structure. Okay. Their social structure and religion merged with local beliefs. And the most important thing of this part is that the sacred writings happened here. And the sacred writings that we're going to be taking a look at now, it's the basis of Hinduism. As we're going to see later, many different writings were added and many different concepts were added as the passage of time continued, but this was the basic. Okay. So now, let's take a look at the founder of Hinduism, the person that founded it all, the one, the only. What we're going to do now? We're going to poll. We're going to ask you guys, who is the founder of Hinduism? So let's take out your phones and let's ask that question. Again, pollev.com. You should be there already. And what is the founder of Hinduism? Christians believe in Jesus. Buddhists follow Buddha. And Hindus follow whom? You have 20 seconds. Hindu, a guru god. Hindu, the sun god. Hindu, the wise. Or, I don't know, not applicable. I took that from a junior higher. I was doing this in junior high. A little poll, and they put IDK. I'm like, what is that? I don't know. Got it. Great. The majority of you think that Hindu, a guru god. 9% Hindu the wise. Well, let's check it out. Hinduism, and I want you to remember this, doesn't have a central figure. Nobody founded Hinduism. As we just reviewed, is a collection of culture and tradition with no single founder. Comparing with Christianity, We know that when Jesus came and died and resurrected and ascended, he established his church, and then the people that followed him are called Christians. In Hinduism, there's no such thing as a founder. It's a family of traditions. And the Hinduism's core belief is truth is one, paths are many. And this really works well with the whole notion of Hinduism, because there's many traditions that sometimes they contradict each other in certain ways. But because truth is one, paths are many, it's okay. It's a very interesting thought. And as I was explaining this, it was an exercise of us to take out our Western way of thinking and open our minds to the possibilities of what this will actually look like. Okay? Great. So who is the central figure in Hinduism? Oh, buddy, great. You got it. So remember that. The majority of you, and me too, I didn't really realize that before. Okay, so let's look at your handouts. If you are able to write it down. No central figure in Hinduism. Hinduism does not have a central organization. So that means no body of leadership that all Hindus answer to. As a comparison, let's say the Catholic Church has the church, the Pope, the bishops, and all those things that every Catholic will answer to or get direction from. In Hinduism, there's no organization as such. But there's many swamis and gurus that will be able to follow different paths of Hinduism, and then people may be able to follow them and their teachings as well. So in your handouts, you have millions of swamis. They don't coordinate with one another. They just follow the traditions of what part of Hinduism they either were born with or they were learning about, and distributing that knowledge as well. Okay, so far so good? Great. Now, what we're gonna do, we're gonna do sacred writings. And this is the end of the facts. I know that the facts are a little stale, a little, okay, great, I know. We're gonna get to the good stuff. Sacred writings. We're going to do a poll again. So let's take out our phones and let's see how much you know about the sacred writings in Hinduism. So polyv.com, SYPNYC. And this is the question. Christianity has the Bible. How many sacred books in Hinduism? Now, using the knowledge that we just learned right now, and how many books do you guys think the whole religion of Hinduism has? Mm-hmm. Ah, some honesty right here. I don't know. 42%. That's good. 1, 3, 6. Great. Well, this is the answer. Are you ready? Hindu scriptures. 1, 2, 3. And that one contains 4, so that's 6. Who got 6? Yay! That's not the answer, I'm sorry. Okay? Because later on, other scriptures were added. And there, you see the highlighted red? That one has even more. They're called epics and Puranas. This is the basic collection of Hindu scriptures. So all of the concepts of God, karma, yoga, dharma, Brahman, all these questions, all these concepts, everything comes from there in different ways. Sometimes they come as an epic story that tells a story of different things and how Brahma, which we're going to learn a little bit later, interacted and how his incarnation came. It's very interesting, and we're going to take a look. But what I want you to know is that there is no single book in Hinduism. The most important and sacred ones are the first 4, called the Vedas. And the Vedas are, if you remember at the beginning of our talk, are the scriptures that came when those Indo-Aryans came down, conquered, and their beliefs mixed with the beliefs that the locals had. Okay, great. So we're doing good. We're learning a lot. So again, let's take a look at our handout. And let's review. The Vedas are the first sacred books in Hinduism. There are four of them. They were written in a language called Sanskrit. You have to know the language, but when I'm studying this, the language came over and over and over again because all the terms that we use to describe Hinduism came from that language. And one quick fact, one of the epics called, I'm going to try to do this, the Mahabharata is the longest poem in the world. All right. So now we really get a chance to see if we learned something in these past few minutes. I need three volunteers from the audience. One, two, three. Come on up here. And we're going to need a mic for their names. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Yeah, sure, for a come. They just want the candy. Great. Okay, so what's your name?
Priscilla.
Jackie.
Valerie.
Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre. And your ages?
17.
13.
13.
14.
Great. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to test it out. I'm going to ask a question, and you guys are going to raise your hand if you know the answer.
Do I need my paper?
You should know this by now. Okay. Oh. All right. So, first question. This is just a test. How many Gospels in the Bible?
66.
Well, how many books in the Bible? 66. How many Gospels?
Oh.
Four Gospels. Great. Great. Give her a hand. That's good. Good. Actually, if we can have some candy, it would be great too. All right. Now, second question. And this is for another piece of candy. Who is the founder of Hinduism?
There's no founder.
Great. Great. Yeah, let's get some candy out here. Yep, go for it. Give her also candy because she said four Gospels. Yeah, it was great. Okay, now this is for the real prize, which is labeled number one over there in the back. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Can you tell me the name of the sacred writings in Hinduism, the first four? It starts with a V.
Oh. Zembra?
No. The Vedas, which is pretty close to Vedas, which is great. Awesome, we have a winner. And he just now won a Ravi Zacharias book called Jesus Talks to Krishna. And it's a great contrast between Hinduism and Christianity. Thank you so much, guys. Awesome. Great. So the good thing about this is that we're able to learn a little bit more, right? Now you guys know a lot of things about Hinduism. But before going to the concept of God and, you know, the deity and God and what's the problem with humanity and all these big things, we must take a look at what we're going to be talking about. Okay? So what is a worldview? So some of you guys are familiar with this. Some of you guys may not. But what is a worldview? In a very basic way, it's a way to view the world. It's like the lens that you see the world with. And just, you know, eyeglasses like mine. It's a personal thing. So you have that. And then you use that to see everything else. Okay? For instance, we can ask this question to any worldview. What is the thing from which everything comes from? And let's say the majority of you guys are Christians. And if I ask you, what is the thing from which everything comes from, what would you tell me? God. Yeah. Yeah, you're right there, God. We're going to ask this question, and we're going to see how different worldviews answer it, okay? Three worldviews, specifically. The first one, we're very familiar with it. There is a God, and God created everything. Physical things, people, animals, nature, stars, planets, the laws of nature, everything. God not only created it, but also upholds it, and also sometimes comes into it, meaning a miracle. Something miraculous happened. It's a God intervention coming to his creation. So examples of this, Christianity. This is called theism, basic theism. Okay? Next worldview. There are things here which are created, physical things, but there is no God. Reality is only energy and matter. That is materialism. And an example of materialism is atheism. Easy enough? Yes. Now let's look at this next worldview. What is that which everything comes from? We have the creation, well, we have physical things. But in this worldview, God is in everything. He's not outside. God is not outside creation, but it's in creation, in everything. God in the plant, God in me, God in the pulpit, God in the speaker, God in the air, God in the dog, God in everywhere, in the French fry as well. So in order for us to think about something like this, what we're going to use is the concept of the Force. So think about Star Wars and think about the Force. You know how Yoda talks about it and says, it's around us, surrounds us, it's in us, you got to feel it, you have to connect to it. And then, you know, in I don't remember the name, he lifts up the X-Wing. And you can see, you know, how everything is connected. He's like, everything is connected. The tree, me, the X-Wing, water, everything is connected. That's interesting to the Matrix. But anyway, that's the Force, okay? So in this worldview, everything is God. Everything is a force, okay? And this is pantheism. And one of the examples of pantheism is Hinduism, okay? Now, what we want to do now, let me just go back to this. We're going to take a look now at the concept of God. Now that we have that understanding of what's a worldview and the concept of God, we're going to compare the pantheistic worldview in Hinduism, and then we're going to compare Christianity. Okay? So first, in Christianity, God is a personal being, feels love for us, and empathizes with our pain and suffering. In Hinduism, there's an impersonal force, and the name of it's Brahma, that is beyond personal moral distinctions. So with this, what I want you to remember is that in Christianity, we're so used to God being personal, speaking to us, just like we speak to one another, and we speak back to him. That means that he's a person. In the pantheistic worldview, it's a force. So you don't really speak to a force. You're not able to have a relationship with the force. The force is not a moral entity either. So So that's a big, big concept and big, big difference that we're going to take away from tonight. Now, the next point. The person of God is different from our soul. And again, true. Creation, the Bible says creation, and we are created. We're part of the creation. Created in his image, but we have the difference. We are created beings, and he is the creator. In Hinduism, this force extends itself as a person's soul. So think about that for a minute. It's like the force is everywhere and in you as well, so that you're not, and this is kind of tricky, you're not really you. You are part of this force. Okay, just think about that for a minute, because we're going to go back to it. The main distinction is that in Christianity, there is a creator, and the creator creates a soul. And he creates a soul in his own image, but that they're different. In Hinduism, there's no difference. It's the same thing. Okay? The next difference, God is one being having three persons. And in Hinduism, millions of gods and goddesses, which we have already perhaps seen in movies or pictures or so, are manifestations of this impersonal force. So even when you see a goddess or a god statue in Hinduism, it's actually a manifestation of this force that took that form and performed some type of thing with a purpose. But it is exactly that force. Okay? Great. In Hinduism, there's these things. There's the Om. This is the most sacred sound that is used in chanting. And this is what is described as the Brahman, the soul, the impersonal force, and then the soul, which is one. Okay? The key difference in here, God is a personal God. And I want you to remember this. When you're talking with individuals with the worldview of pantheism, God is a personal God. And that connection of personhood is going to be very important to describe other things, such as forgiveness, salvation, and so forth. Okay, the next question. Where do we come from? Well, let's see. In Christianity, we say that we are created in the image of God. We're individuals, loved by God, and created in his image. In Hinduism, we have that we're not individuals, that we're an extension of Atman or the Force. I hope that this concept is beginning to make sense, at least that distinction. That in Christianity, there is a distinction between I and God. Just like we were singing today, you are a good, good father, we're actually saying he is different from us, he is God, but then us are still different. We're individuals. As opposed to in Hinduism, you're pretty much the same. You're an essence of this force. Okay. So one of the main things also is that there is no hierarchy in our human nature. And this is also big in many different parts of Hinduism. We are the same in the presence of God. But in Hinduism, there's a thing called the caste system. And remember those Indo-Aryans that thousands of years ago moved to the Indus Valley and conquered? They had a strong belief in the caste system. And it's a structural system. When people are on the top, then the next layer, it's the not-so-good layer, and then after that, there's another layer of servants, and after that, there's another layer of people that perhaps labor or so, and then after that, there's the layer of untouchables, that they're impure, and we don't touch them. The caste system is one of the most difficult things that in Hinduism people have to reconcile with. In some parts of India, they actually banned discrimination based on the caste system, but in other parts, they actually marry only between their castes and so forth. Again, in Christianity, everybody's the same. In Hinduism, there is a concept of the caste system. And then there's a caste class. Okay, great. Main point, we're different beings from God, but we are created in His image. Okay, next up. We're going to go to the next point, which is, what is our problem? So we see the concept of God, where we come from, but what's the problem? In Christianity, our problem is that we have been separated by God, from God because of our sin. There's a separation, relationship broken, separation. In Hinduism, we're ignorant of the fact that we are an extension of the force. Now, remember that concept again. We're supposed to be the same thing, not individuals, an extension of this force. And the problem is that, according to Hinduism, we're ignorant about it. That we attach to things, that we have egos, we're attached to other things that doesn't allow us to actually realize that we are one with this thing, which is very interesting. Our moral rebellion hurts God. That is one of the major problems. Sin affects our relationship with the Holy God. In Christianity, sin produces this separation. In Hinduism, karma plays in and reincarnation plays in. So as the skit was saying, karma is pretty much, you know, you do good things, you receive good things. You do bad things, you receive bad things. The interesting thing about karma is that it will follow you throughout all of your reincarnations in Hinduism. So you get reincarnated in Hinduism based on whatever karma you have, whatever balance you have, depending if you have, you know, less debt to pay, more debt to pay. You can be reincarnated in an animal, an object, in an insect, in a person of a lower caste, you know, maybe an untouchable, maybe in a higher caste, maybe a businessman. So the problem in Hinduism is that the karma is not balanced, the checkbook is not balanced, so that we need to reincarnate again and again and again, so that we must try and try and try to balance the checkbook, balance this karma. Okay, pretty easy. This is a picture of karma. It will follow you. It's not your credit card debt, it's much worse than that. It's your good deeds and your bad deeds all lumped up together. Sometimes in some beliefs in Hinduism, karma can accumulate for a long time, for a lot of reincarnations, and all of a sudden it hits you later, accumulated. So that's really hard. Key difference with Christianity, sin broke our relationship with our holy God. Key difference, that's the problem. Okay, great. So, heavy concepts, but I'm sure that some of you learned a little bit and will know the answer. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to bring more candy. So I need 4 more volunteers. There's 1. There's 2. I want a junior higher. Hold on. Where's Paloma? Oh, yeah. Alexia. Paloma. Come on. Come on. Give them a hand, please. Give them a hand. I already have 4. Yeah, I already have 4. Come on, come on. Okay, come this way. Yeah. All right. This is going to be very easy. Alexia, Paloma, are you coming? Come on, come on. Let's go, let's go. Come on, you can do it. By the way, junior high is part of the SYP ministry. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and it's great. It's awesome. Yes. Okay, great. What is your name?
Kevin.
Amanda.
Timothy.
Alexa.
Great. Thank you. And what is your age?
13.
26.
26.
22.
Perfect. All right. So the easy part. Right now, we're going to have a question, very easy. If you know the answer, raise your hand. How many books in the Bible?
66.
66. All right. Next, very easy. Who is the founder of Christianity?
Jesus.
All right, go ahead. Next question. Ready? Next question. What is the main difference in the concept of God? Hold on. What is the main difference in the concept of God between Hinduism and Christianity?
Well, I would just say that God is a personal being that is relational towards us as human beings. And in Hinduism, there is no personal force. It's an impersonal concept or thing to grasp onto.
That deserves some candy. All right, that's pretty good. Now, last question. Are you ready? This is for the big prize.
Come on.
Okay. What is our problem in Christianity?
Hands down.
I'm going to ask another question because you guys were too fast. Ready? In Hinduism, what is the name of the force?
Oh my gosh. Yoda?
The separation from the force.
Nope.
You gotta ask another question.
Jesus?
Nope.
What? Brahma.
Yes, Brahma! Can we have some candy? And yeah, candy, and we're gonna have the book called
Congrats.
Jesus Among Other Gods. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Give them their hand. Good job. That wasn't that bad. All right. So we saw the problem, where we come from, and now we're going to take a look at the solution. All right, what is the solution?
Jesus!
In Christianity, we need to be forgiven of our sins and be reconciled with a personal holy God. We must repent of our sins and trust in the completed work of Jesus. Great. In Hinduism, the solution is to be liberated from the illusion of self. And we have to do three things. Number one, our karma needs to be balanced. Number two, dharma, which is a concept that says you must do a lot of good deeds in a good way. And you have to follow a way so that you can do good deeds. That has to be performed well. And each individual, depending on how they follow Hinduism, follow a specific dharma. And the next one, which is the one that we have been talking about, you realize that you and the force are not different, that you're actually the force itself, so that you can unite with the force. Now, this concept... the next one is, the solution comes from God's grace. We need to accept the gift of salvation by faith in Jesus. So the direction of the solution is God approaching humanity and saying, I am the solution. I am the one that will provide a way. In Hinduism, we rely on self-effort to be liberated. So the idea The direction is that you must accomplish certain things and balance your karma and perform dharma well and realize that you are not yourself but the force, so that you can actually be liberated from this circle of reincarnation and rebirth and so forth. A picture to balance karma. So think about, in terms of Hinduism and what karma means, all your good deeds will come back to you, all your bad deeds will come back to you. And after karma is being, you know, reconciled, dharma is being well performed, and the God realization is achieved, you're free to go. But it's interesting because it's not you. And we'll see that in a moment. So the key difference in Christianity, we need to be forgiven from our sins and be reconciled with a personal God. Okay, so what happens next? The solution is applied. What happens next? The ultimate goal. One line. In Christianity, we're going to have eternal communion with a relational God. It's going to be an actual relationship with a personal God. In Hinduism, we will merge into oneness with an impersonal being or the force. And the individual disappears, because that's the idea. So in order to illustrate this, the one that I was thinking about, and usually, even when you go to Wikipedia and you, if you search for, I think it's Brahman, you will find pictures like this. It's that you will be absorbed by the force, because you are the force, and then you cease to exist, because you were the force in the first place. It's a very interesting concept that Hinduism has. Key difference, we will eternally commune with a God in a loving relationship. Okay, so now quickly we're going to compare two things. We're going to compare sin and the law of karma. So I want you to take your handouts, and you can see on the last page that comparison. Sin affects our relationship with God. Sin affects that relationship, and God, since he's a person and a spiritual being, can forgive us. In Hinduism, the law of karma does not affect a relationship with the force. And in Hinduism also, there is no possibility of forgiveness. Because again, think about the concept of karma, reincarnation. You're paying, you're trying to do good deeds, you're paying what you have done in the past, you're trying to do all these things, but there's no forgiveness because you are the one that is trying to balance everything out. So the key difference is that sin affects our relationship with God, but forgiveness is possible in Christianity. Next, we're going to compare Christianity, prayer, and meditation. In prayer, there is a communication between people and God. So there's me communicating with a personal God, and he communicates with me. There's information, there's interaction, there's a lot of great things. In Hinduism, there is no communication between the force, really, because the force is not an individual. There is no there's no talking. It's more you're looking at yourself and you're trying to achieve this oneness with this impersonal force. In Christianity, prayer is a way to communicate with God. Okay, I think we've covered a lot of material, so I think we're ready for the great big prize. I need 4 volunteers. All right, but I'm gonna call them out. I'm gonna say Aaron? You can come up. Yes, you. Go ahead. Yes. Give him a hand clap. Where are the visitors, by the way? Come on up. That's great. You can go. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead. All right, so we're getting ready for the big one. So, actually, we only have four. We're going to play elimination because we only have four spots for this. So you must be quick, all right? So, you ready? The first, if you lift up your hand. Oh, wow, we're going to play elimination with five people. Great. So if you don't know the answer, you got to eliminate it. Okay? You ready? Okay. First question. If you don't know the answer, you got to eliminate it. How many testaments in the Bible?
Two.
Yeah. Exactly. All the new. Step up here. You're in the game. That's good. Next question. That's right. Next question. What is the longest book in the Bible? Psalms? Pastor? The Psalms is supposed to be the longest book. Right? Yeah, please, come on. Yeah, very good. Two. All right. I'm going to be mean. What is the name of the impersonal oneness? What is the name of the impersonal oneness?
Isn't it like verbal? It's like,
it
starts with a B.
It starts with a Brahma.
Yeah.
There you go, Brahma. You're in. That's good. All right. One more. Last question. What is the solution in Hinduism? How do you leave reincarnation in Hinduism? What you must do? Three things. Give me one of those three things.
You realize that you're not an individual and you become part of the force.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, you realize that you're part of it. So yeah, you're coming in. That's good. Thank you, guys. Thank you for participating and trying. There is only four spots, so thank you very much. Give them a hand. They did try. Yeah, come on this way. Okay, great. So this is for the big prize. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to play a little bit of a karma game. So every answer that you give, if it's good, gets you closer to the prize. If it's bad, what happens with karma? Something bad happens, right? All right, so it's going to be all right. So first, what we need, it's some shower caps. That we must protect the hair. We must protect the hair, definitely. Yeah, we must protect the hair. Yeah, so don't worry, it's not going to be too crazy. No, not yet. Okay, great. Well, if you want your hair to be protected, yes, definitely put it on. I mean, you know Nickelodeon, and when I was a kid, and things used to fall from the sky, and remember that? It's kind of crazy. All right, so I'm going to ask the question very easy, and then after that, either good things are going to happen or bad things are going to happen. And don't worry, it's not going to be too bad. Are you ready? Okay, the first question, I forgot a detail. We're going to blindfold you guys as well. So The idea of the blindfold is that you're going to be forced to give your honest answer. And if you definitely have the honest answer, you will get the goal. Great? You guys can do it. Perfect. Don't worry. There's no spiders or insects that are gonna put in your face and stuff. You got it?
Yep, I think so.
Okay. You may need to move your hair a little bit to the left. Right? Just to the left, your hair to the left. Okay. So this is for the big prize, okay? So the questions are gonna be a little bit not too fundamental. Okay, question number one. If you have the answer, you raise up your hand. The good answer gets you closer. You guys are ready. What's the last book of the Bible? Yes.
Revelation,
good. All right, that's good. Take one step forward. That's good. Yeah. Another question. You guys ready? Name a prophet. Go ahead.
Jeremiah,
that's good. One step forward, please. There's nothing there, that's fine. Don't worry. Yeah. Next question. How many Proverbs. Yeah, how many Proverbs? 24 Proverbs. 24. Is the answer correct? 26. No. The answer is incorrect. You can take it over there. Here.
Here, I got you.
Hands down. So the answer is not 26, it's 32. You can take her to clean herself up. I'm sorry, 31. Okay. Now, next question. Next question. What is the main difference between the concept of God and the concept of Hinduism? The concept of God in Christianity and the concept of God in Hinduism. Yes?
That God is he's a personal God that you can have a relationship with. And in Hinduism, it's an impersonal force that you're kind of one with that eventually you dissolve into.
Very good. Step forward.
I'm scared. I'm going to fall.
No, you're not going to fall. Don't worry. We'll catch you. Or we'll put something on your face. Okay. Now, next question. Now, the problem is, if you don't know, it's going to be kind of tough. What is... what is the main problem in Hinduism? Hands down. What is the main problem in Hinduism? Yes.
The main problem is that we don't realize that we're not individuals and that we're part of the force.
That's really good. That's a good answer. Step forward. Okay. Yeah, step forward. That's fine. There's nothing there. All right. So we have three. Now, we have... I'm sorry I didn't get your name. What is your name?
Josh.
Hey, Josh. So there's two contestants that are ahead of you. This means that if you don't answer these questions, it's bad karma. Okay, Josh? So you can do it. You ready, Josh? Were you paying attention?
Yeah.
Okay, Josh. You will get candy, though. Were you here from the beginning?
Yes.
From the beginning of the...
Yeah.
Okay, so you definitely know this. How many people in the world practice Hinduism?
Well, I know it's 1 billion.
15%. That's good. Step forward. That's a good job. Good karma. Okay. If you know the answer, raise your hand. This is for the big prize. How many, in the percentage, if you're able to, how many American adults practice Hinduism? Yes.
0.7 million.
Good. Step forward. You're good. Okay. Next one. Give me the name of the four sacred... Ooh.
Vedas or Vedas?
The Vedas. That's good. Well, you can come forward. Okay, what is your name?
My name is Camille.
Your name is?
Camille.
Okay, so the two contestants are in front of you. That means that if you don't respond, this is bad karma.
Oh, no.
Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah. I think so. Let's hope so.
Okay. I'm gonna... Okay. Tell me the name of the worldview that says this. There is no God, there's only matter, energy, and the laws of the universe. Tell me the name of that worldview.
I believe that's materialism.
That's very good. You can step forward. The next one, just take your hand and smush it. Okay, great. You guys are doing good, by the way. I have to say that. Okay. Fill in the blanks. Okay? Fill in the blanks and raise up your hand. Now, if you don't raise up your hand, then I'm forced to pick one of you to answer. Okay? Because this is a little bit more in-depth. So, fill in the blanks. Due to unbalanced karma, your karma is not balanced, you will be blank, blank, blank.
Part of...
Go ahead. You would be...
Is it more than one answer? Or
try one.
Okay,
Let me get you the question again. Due to unbalanced karma, you will be...
Like, that you have to pay for it, by being, like, part of a low class or, like, being an insect or... I don't know, I'm just asking. Because I know that's what I heard, like...
Okay. But I'm going to... Hands down. Think. I'm looking for a term that may describe what you're saying. It's a specific term. If she doesn't get it, I'll
go. You would be the untouchables? Like,
is that final answer?
I just don't care.
All right. So the final answer is untouchables.
That's what I said.
Well, that's your final answer. The real answer is that due to unbalanced karma, you will be reincarnated. So you, bad karma will happen to you. All right. You can tell. All right. Now, take a step back. That's fine. You guys are the last of the Mohicans. Now, give me your name again.
Josh.
And your name again?
Camille.
Josh took a step to your right. That's good. Camille and Josh. One last question. Are you guys ready? So, we talked about that in Hinduism, one of the problems is that we are ignorant of the fact that, fill in the blanks, we're ignorant of the, okay, great.
We're ignorant of the fact that we are not individuals, that we're part of the force.
Very good, very good. Great. That's not good. No, actually, what I'm going to ask Tony to do is you can remove the blindfolds. Remove the blindfolds, yeah, because you guys actually won. You won the game. You survived. So since you answered the last question, we're going to give you two prizes, okay? So the first prize is going to be, the first prize is going to be the Why Jesus book. This is a book by Ravi Zacharias that talks about Eastern thought in Western culture, which is great. Awesome. And you're going to get a brand new apologetics Bible. All right? Thank you for participating, guys. Awesome. You can get it too. Okay. Was that fun? Is that okay? All right. Good job. The reason, again, that what we're doing this is that so that we can compare them. This is about karma. I need a thing. Yeah. You see, bad things happen from time to time. Thank you.
Can I take this?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, sorry, she said.
You get, I can do that one? Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it.
Okay. Bad things do happen from time to time. I love the fact that we're having fun with this because I really like it because we're able to laugh, but we're actually doing a lot of deep thought if you really think about it. I think for us, we're able to take a look at all these concepts, remember them, and once you have a conversation with somebody, that you know a little bit more where they're coming from. You know that forgiveness is not possible when you're dealing with karma and dharma and reincarnation. You know that there is no relationship with God, that there's one impersonal force that technically speaking doesn't hear you. In Christianity, there's a concept that says that he's acquainted with our sufferings because Jesus came, died for us. In Hinduism, there's none of that. There's this force that you're trying to be united with. The main thing for this is for us to see the difference that Jesus brings, that when we trust in him, really, things change. And we're going to have someone. There's one comparison between Jesus and Vishnu there that I'm going to leave you guys so that you can study it yourselves. But there's a person here that has a story, has a testimony. And she was actually born and raised in a pantheistic worldview. That was her culture, that was the belief system, that was reality. But then she was able to take a look at that and really ask questions about that. And it was a difficult journey. But in the end, she was able to find a relationship with God. So, Monica.
Thank you, David. Hi, everyone. My name is Monica, and I just want to share with you a little bit about how I came to know the Lord. So I grew up as a Hindu for the first 18 years of my life. I grew up in the northern part of India called Punjab, and I learned to be a really devout Hindu because the concept of who God was a picture painted by my parents. And the movies I had watched, there was different movies, different series of movies about different gods. So I grew up very strong. I always wanted to do good because we believe that the more good you did, that was your way of attaining salvation. So at the age of 18, I met a friend who actually began to question my beliefs, question what I believed in. He basically challenged me. And there was three things he asked me. And he said, if you were to die today, where would you go? Another thing he asked me was, how do you know God is real? And have you experienced him in your life? And the third thing he said was, when you pray, how do you know God hears you? Honestly, I was speechless. Because I had defended Hinduism, you know, I had defended what I grew up believing. But the minute he began to ask me those questions, basically challenging my faith, there was nothing I could say because honestly, I didn't experience God in my life. I prayed those prayers just because I was taught that that's what you were to do. And there was another thing he said. He said, you know, why don't you give Jesus a chance? If he doesn't change your life, you don't have to follow him. So I said, okay, that seems pretty simple. So one night, he just broke down the gospel over a phone conversation from Genesis to Revelation. And again, I was speechless. So I started coming into church. I put Hinduism to the side because I wanted to really know who God was. And if what my friend was telling me about God was true, I really wanted to know it. So over a period of 5 years, I wouldn't say tested God, but in a way I was testing him to see if he was real. But now I would say I experienced him. And one of the ways I experienced him was every time I would come to church, it's like the preacher knew my life. I would just start to cry. And I would tell my friend, you told the pastors my life. And he was like, no, this is God. This is who God is, and this is how he speaks to us when we come to his house. I would open up the Bible, and I would literally take what God's word said and just apply it to my life. You know, my cardiac disease ran in my family, and there was two deaths associated with just my grandfather having a massive heart attack. My uncle at a very young age had a heart attack. So during those 5 years, I saw another uncle having a heart attack right in front of my eyes. And at that time, I was maybe 2 or 3 years into coming to know the Lord. And my cousins had gotten saved by then. So when I saw his lips turning blue, and I was in nursing school at the time, I was like, oh God, if you are real, this is the time to show me. Because I cannot afford to lose another person. We just fell on the floor and we just prayed while the EMS were doing CPR and resuscitating him. And not only God saved his life, but within a few months, God gave him a heart transplant. So over these 5 years, I didn't tell my parents that I was going to church, that I was experiencing God, because I had the fear of rejection. You know, we learned about the caste system. I was right on the top, right below the Brahmins. And I knew the minute I told my parents that I was going to be untouchable. They were going to reject me. But after the 5 years, I graduated from college. And by now, I knew God was real. And I couldn't keep it a secret anymore. So I told my parents. And that's a whole nother story. But to make long story short, I am here today. And I married the person who shared the gospel with me. So honestly, if you're here today and if you're wondering if Jesus is real, you know, the Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. So taste it for yourself. Thank you.
Praise God. Wasn't that good? Sense the presence of the Lord here tonight. And as we just wrap up this evening, I just wanted to give an opportunity for anyone here. You might have come in tonight burdened. Maybe you have questions. Maybe you have a sensation on the inside. Something's happening on the inside. You might not know quite what's going on with you. But you'd like to talk to somebody. You'd like prayer. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward, our youth workers and prayer team to come forward. And they'll be here in the front as we wrap up this evening. And they'll be ready to talk to you, to pray with you, to answer any questions you might have this evening as we close out this first session of our series. If you've enjoyed yourself this evening, you invite a friend for next week. It's going to be a great, great time next week. You won't want to miss next week. But let's all stand together. Let's stand together quietly and reverently. And I just want to close in a word of prayer. But again, if you're here tonight and you have a burden, you have a need, you have a care, a concern, a question, something going on the inside, and you want to talk to somebody, our prayer team will be standing here in the front as we wrap up this evening. And you can come out of your seat and come forward and they'll talk with you, they'll pray with you, they'll answer any questions you might have. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord Jesus, to explore, Lord, the worldview, to see what others believe in God, and to see what we believe in comparison. God, I thank you that we know you to be a personal God, a personal Savior, a God that loves us and that cares, a God that is actively involved in our lives, and that orders our steps even to this point. I pray this evening that as we leave this place, Lord, that you would cause a peace, your peace that passes all understanding, to guard our hearts and minds in you. Lord, to envelop everyone here that has no peace. Lord, your word says, Lord, that when we're walking in a way that is contrary to your way, there is no peace. There is no peace, oh God. And so tonight I pray that as we make sure that things are right with you, that you would cause peace to abound, cause healing to abound, cause freedom to abound, cause your grace to abound. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for being in the midst of us. Guard us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Prayer team, where's our prayer team? Come and stand across the front here. They're going to be standing in the front facing you, congregation. And again, if you're here tonight and you'd like prayer, you'd like to talk to someone, you've got questions, you can step out of your seat, come to the front here. Don't leave. Don't leave if you've got questions, if you want prayer, if you've got a burden, if you're carrying a weight on your shoulders, you can come right now and they'll minister to you. The Lord bless you. Thank you.